Montrevious Adams has replaced Tyson Alualu in the Steelers starting lineup as the nose tackle in the base 3-4 defense. I think that solves all the Steelers' problems. I'll be shocked if they lose a game from here on out. I mean, 13-4 at the absolute worst. Minkah Fitzgerald had been in concussion protocol. Not good. But he did practice today. That's good. Mike Tomlin had some gems at his media gathering yesterday. Let's hear first what Coach Tomlin had to say about the play of quarterback Mitch Trubisky.
In all areas, in decision-making and where he's going with the ball, the time in which he's making decisions, the prudent use of mobility, whether it's by schematics or by ad-lib, but just generally all areas.
So Mitch Trubisky is improving in all areas. I know what he said. I just don't see any evidence, but that's typical Tomlin talk at his news briefing. Empty platitudes and horse manure. And Tomlin also said that the Steelers need to find a key ingredient if they're to move forward. Here's Mike Tomlin again.
You know, the last couple of games hadn't unfolded the way that we would like. But we're in a no-blink business, particularly if we believe in what it is that we do and the people that we're doing it with. Sometimes you just got to show steely resolve and smile in the face of adversity that the last couple of games' results have produced for us, and roll our sleeves up and get back to work and wait for our next opportunity.
Steely resolve? I thought that's the mascot. Smile in the face of, I mean, was he quoting Gladiator? Tomlin is just so full of crap. He is an unmatched horse manure artist. This is the Mark Madden Show, live today from fabulous Las Vegas. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. Or you can do what the cool kids do and follow me on Twitter, at Mark Madden X. The Steelers, of course, face the New York Jets on Sunday at Acrisure Stadium. And it looks like Zach Wilson is back from injury and will likely be ready to play at quarterback for the Jets against the Steelers on Sunday. Zach Wilson, of course, a second pick overall, just like Mitch Trubisky. Only started 1 year in college, just like Mitch Trubisky. Hasn't done great lately, just like Mitch Trubisky. Well, to be fair, hasn't played yet this year. Some think Zach Wilson underachieved last year for being a second pick overall. I think he just played for the Jets. That's an uphill climb ever since Namath quit. The Jets have three offensive tackles on injured reserve. Yikes, that could spell trouble for Zach Wilson, but probably not, because without T.J. Watt, the Steelers only have two sacks in two games. I think Zach Wilson's a brilliant talent, not just because he's a MILF hunter, bangs his mom's friend, but I think he's a real good quarterback. I think he's got all the tools. But with the Jets, going to be tough to build a toolbox. I think the Steelers are going to win on Sunday. I think they got to. I think if they don't, I mean, if they don't beat the Jets at Acrisure, where's the season go from there? But problem is, that's what I said after they couldn't beat Cleveland with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. I'll be watching the game. Check this out. At the Polish Club in Wampum, PA. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. That's a double M viewing party at the Polish Club in Wampum, PA this Sunday. It is open to the public. You meathead, you. One thing to consider about the Steelers is, who's playing well? Some guys are playing well. It's not an egregiously long list, but some guys are playing well. Some of the guys not on that list can't help it, like Pat Freiermuth and the wideouts, because they're not involved enough or certainly consistently enough in in any case, but Deontay, who's on pace to have a pretty good season, but we'll talk about him more in a second. But okay, here's my list of Steelers that are playing well. Feel free to augment it by dialing 412-333-WXDX. However, I don't think you can. Miles Jack, he's a glue guy. 35 tackles leads the team. Chooks and Daniels on the right side of the offensive line. Although with the O-line, we thought they would really stink. And now because they don't stink quite so much, we think they're real good. They're not real good. They just don't stink quite so much. Minka, although Cleveland stayed away from him, and that's going to be something that repeats. Alex Highsmith with his 4.5 sacks to lead the league. I'm sure his little league dad must be orgasmic, and that's it. That's the list. Jack, Chooks, Daniels, Minka, Highsmith. Tell me if there's anybody else because I don't think so. Devin Bush is doing better than suck, but we've lowered the bar. He is still below average. Not an impact player as you expect him to be when you draft him 10th overall, indeed after trading up to get him. Cam hasn't done much the last two games since Watt got hurt. He's absorbing the double teams, and I love Cam, but he's got to do better. I'm sure he'd be the first to say that. Najee is at 3.2 yards per carry, 128 yards total. That stinks. Now, Deontay Johnson is an interesting discussion. He's got 21 catches for 196 yards. That projects to 119 catches for about 1,100 yards on the season. But Deontay dropped that ball against Cleveland, and it might have cost the Steelers the game. And I reemphasize, I say it a lot because it's true a lot. You pay players to win games, not for stats, but to win games. Deontay's stats will be there. His numbers will run. They'll add up. But that drop lost that game. It's like T.J. Watt. The Steelers are 0-6-1 over this year and last. 0-6-1 without Watt for the full game or if he gets hurt during. That again, that's 0-6-1 over the last 2 years. That doesn't prove Watt's value, as some have said. We know he's good. It shows that big contract he got may betray the Steelers because of his too frequent unavailability. But the bottom line is the Steelers just don't have enough players playing well. And that goes way beyond the quarterback and the offensive coordinator. I've been listening to some Pittsburgh talk radio recently, not since I got out here, obviously. Duh. I'm gambling, drinking, doing unspeakable things. No, actually, not that much. I saw Aerosmith, very good. Get the Let Out, very good. Talk more about that a little later. I hear some of the bozos on radio in this town, all they talk about is Trubisky, Pickett, Canada. Trubisky, Pickett, Canada. Trubisky, Pickett, Canada. Trubisky, Pickett, Canada. Good God, do better. Seriously, do better. That's lazy, it's unimaginative, it's repetitive, and it just sucks. Do better. Then again, don't, because I'll never get tired of being number one. I think the only way it's not going to happen at this point is if I die. The way I feel, well, you never know. When? Not too soon, I hope. 412-333-WXDX. We got Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. Also, Mike DeFabo. He moved from covering hockey at the Post-Gazette to covering the Steelers at the Athletic. Batko joins me at 3:30. DeFabo joins me at 4:30. Then Frank Schwab from Yahoo joins me at 5:30 to talk some football. One guy I want to talk about with Frank is Lamar Jackson. Good God in the goose fat. What a year that guy's having. It's only three games, but okay. Number one in passing touchdowns. Number one in passer rating. Number four in the NFL for rushing yardage. There's a guy betting on himself. That's what I keep hearing. In negotiating his own contract and going into the season without it. And yeah, he's certainly going to back up the Brinks truck if he keeps playing like this. Then again, he could blow out a knee. He's betting on himself, but you never bet on blowing out a knee. You know who's going to win the division this year? That crappy AFC South? Jacksonville. If they're not careful, they just might win that division. A lot of crazy stuff going on in the NFL. A quick Penguin note. Teddy Bluger left practice today injured. Jeff Carter continues to be day-to-day. Kasperi Kapanen is sick. I'm sick of him not scoring. And the Penguins got killed by the Detroit Red Wings in exhibition play last night. What was it, 7-2? I watched like, I mean, I'm in Vegas. I didn't watch it all. But it was Detroit's third string killing the Penguins' first string. But the third string for Detroit has something to prove. Sid was -3, for example, and I'm not real worried about that as the regular season approaches. Oh, another Steeler thing, too. Jordan Berry's back with the team on the practice squad because Presley Harvin is apparently injured, although, I mean, I don't think it matters who the friggin' punter is. What was that one punter's name? The Steelers won a Super Bowl with, like, the worst punter ever. I just don't think it matters that much. I love Tomlin. Trubisky's improving in all areas. Follow-up question, Coach. Do any of those areas involve quarterbacking? 412-333-WXDX. Batco at the bottom of the hour. It's Mark Madden live from fabulous Las Vegas, 105.9.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
What up, man?
There's always been an unspoken dynamic. I am a lot smarter than you. Okay, so maybe it's a spoken dynamic.
The X at 105.9.
Got some big news from the ballpark. It's the Bucco Roundup. They beat the Reds in 10 innings today at PNC. That completes a three-game sweep of the series against Cincinnati. And the Pirates are now just one game back in the race for fourth place in the National League Central. It's like that Will Ferrell movie, Semi-Pro. We will win fourth place at the Flint, Michigan Mega Bowl. It's the Flint, Michigan Mega Bowl. It's the Mega Bowl. Yeah, I just don't think finishing fourth in the NL Central would be a big deal. Although if the Pirates split their last six games, all against St. Louis, they avoid... No, wait, they're going to go 4-2. If they split, they lose 100 games. They're going to go 4-2. But St. Louis has already clinched the NL Central. They can't move up in the seeding or down, so I don't know. If you're going to dream, dream big, and fourth place in the NL Central is about as big as the Pirates can dream. The attendance has become a topic. Monday night, the announced crowd was 8K and change, but there were literally a couple hundred people in the stands. A couple hundred. Mike Greenberg was making fun of it on ESPN Get Up. They showed a photo, and on Twitter, they had a photo of PNC during the pandemic when fans weren't allowed in, and then a photo of Monday night when fans were allowed in but just didn't show up, and the ballpark looked about the same population-wise. If you didn't catch a foul ball Monday night, you just weren't trying. And that is the Bucco Roundup for today. Some good football news. They're ditching the Pro Bowl, the All-Star game. They're going to have a flag football game and a skills competition instead. That's dumb, but not as dumb as the Pro Bowl had become. You can't have All-Star games in contact sports. Back when the players were dumb and playing in the game got them a bonus they needed. Yeah, you could do it then, but you can't do it now. In fact, I think they need to get rid of all the All-Star games. There's not one single All-Star game in sports that makes any sense beyond a benefit for the host city, which I do not underestimate. But this skills competition and the flag football game, you're really going to get guys to go play in that? I don't know. It's in Vegas, but I don't know. For example, look at me. I'm in Vegas not working. I'd rather be in Vegas not working. Let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on with Double M very quickly.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Double M?
Hi, Joe.
You know, everyone talks on the B team. Trubisky, Kenny, Canada. You know, they shy away from
it's all they talk about, bro. It's all they talk about. It's easy, lazy. It's terrible talk radio. But you know, hey, if they think that's going to work, maybe it's I don't know. Who knows? They can do what they want.
Only stupid people.
And thank you for the call, Joe. No, they got some decent talent. They just are misguided, and clearly nobody's giving them direction. That's what happens when you have an assistant to the assistant producer become your program director. For crying out loud. But, yeah, I mean, there's more to what's going on with the Steelers than Pickett, Trubisky, and Canada. And I wish they would replace Canada with the quarterback's coach, Mike Sullivan. And I wish they would replace Trubisky with Pickett, because then you'd see it won't save the season. It's not all that's wrong. The Pirates, excuse me, Freudian slip there in a big way. The Steelers just aren't a very good team. Up next, to talk about just that from the Post-Gazette, he covers the Steelers, it's Brian Batko. I'm Mark Madden, live from fabulous Las Vegas here on 105.9.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
So, what's happening?
He's a little guy.
Huh? What?
I love you got the balls to say what you want to say.
Very good point.
The X at 105.9.
Steelers host the New York Jets on Sunday. It looks like Zach Wilson's going to be available to play quarterback for New York. Joining me now to discuss, he covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. It's great to talk to Brian Batko. Brian, I think the Steelers will look terrible, especially since T.J. Watt got hurt. Am I piling on, or am I right? I mean, what's the state of the Steelers? Be real basic for me here.
But that's no different than what we saw last season when he wasn't in there. You know, I think we even talked about it last time I was on with you. I think the stat is now up to the one that I like to use anyway is they're 0-9-1 when he's either out entirely, leaves the game early, or if you remember those games last season when he was trying to come back from those injuries and he just wasn't the same. So, they really struggle when they don't have Watt or don't have him at 100%. And I saw another metric just now from, I think, that Next Gen Stats that the NFL runs. That game for Jacoby Brissett Thursday night was the least he's been pressured in any game he's ever started in his career. So, they just weren't getting after him at all. They tried to throw a lot at the wall and see what sticks with different personnel. But at some point, guys just have to make a play. And really, outside of Alex Highsmith, who I think has been pretty consistent, they're not getting a whole lot of pressure from anybody right now.
Yeah, I know it's 0-6-1 without Watt, or with Watt hobbled. That's over the last two seasons. And that is really a telling record, and it does seem to be that directly connected. Now, on the bright side, Brian, the offensive line seems better than expected. So, given that, what's holding up the offense? We thought the offense would fail based on the line. Turns out that might not be the problem.
Yeah, I didn't think that was at the top of the list of issues the other night. You know, they did a lot to help the line, so I guess you could argue in the big picture, you know, these guys just not being able to win as many battles one-on-one really hampers what you can do schematically, because you had to chip so much. You had to send Pat Freiermuth you had to keep Pat Freiermuth in there. You had to send Najee Harris to help Dan Moore a little on the left side, probably more than you'd prefer to. But for the most part, those guys have held up. I even think Trubisky was a lot better in week three than he was week two against the Pats. And it was just a few things here and there that kept them from having a much bigger day. You know, his stat line looks a lot better if Deontay Johnson catches that ball down the sideline on Denzel Ward, or if the shovel pass holds up. And the one over the middle to Chase Claypool, not an easy catch to make, but if you're going to be as good as Chase Claypool wants to be and thinks he can be, you've got to make that play. So, it's still big picture. I think Trubisky, you know, he needs to do a lot more to keep this job throughout the season. Matt Canada needs to out-scheme and call some people open, essentially. But the receivers bear some of this responsibility as well. And, I'm past the point of putting it all on the O-line. Those guys have at least kind of been better than I expected, considering expectations were pretty low coming out of the preseason.
Tomlin says Trubisky is improving in all areas. Are you buying that? I mean, he got to say that, but I mean, what areas?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was improved against the Browns. I thought he was a little bit more accurate. I think he was picking his spots better using his legs. You know, the touchdown run was It was about as ugly of a touchdown run as you can get. Sort of harken back to that Ben against the Jaguars in terms of just barely getting the ball across the goal line. But that's one area where I will fault Matt Canada too. Is maybe Trubisky is not great, and I think we saw that in Chicago. And there's a lot of room to improve, to put it mildly, and to kind of use Tomlin's coach speak there. But if you're Canada, why not use a little bit more play action? Why not use some more designed runs and take advantage of Trubisky's strength? So maybe there's more of that in store against the Jets. But, I get the challenge for the coordinator and the play caller as well here, because as much as we say stuff like that, hey, get him out on some bootlegs, get him in the open field so he can use his legs. Well, that's just one more play that you're not throwing the ball to Pat Freiermuth, or you're not throwing it to George Pickens, or you're not throwing it across the middle of the field, or you're not getting your run game involved. So there are a lot of mouths to feed. Role allocation has been a little tricky, but everybody is happy when the ball is moving and you're scoring points. So I think if Trubisky can distribute it a little bit more efficiently and accurately each week, then they'll improve in that regard.
Well, you brought up how the game plan is so cautious and protecting the ball is the first priority, and it's been that way for three games. So people like to blame Canada, but considering how the game plan, has been the same over three games, you got to presume that Tomlin approves what Canada is calling, correct?
Yeah, and I think that's sort of been Canada's philosophy in a lot of places, but maybe it has been kind of tied to his head coach. I want to say at LSU, they were winning a lot of low-scoring games, and, that wasn't cutting it by the end of the season. He didn't even make it through the season. With the Tigers down there in Baton Rouge, the previous year at Pitt, yeah, they were lighting up the scoreboard, but I think Pat Narduzzi had some complaints that they almost weren't running the ball enough. Granted, we've heard that time and time again. So, I think it is kind of coming from up top, the general philosophy and the principles that they want to have on offense. Maybe you're handcuffed a little bit with a guy like Trubisky, who, let's just be honest, he's if anybody thought they were going to get an elite quarterback coming in this offseason, that was never the case. And right now you look around the league, I think quarterback play is generally pretty good, but there's only a few teams who have the Josh Allens and Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herberts of the world, and everybody else is just trying to find a way to move the ball however they can. I saw a lot of ugly offensive outputs this past week, and Trubisky, he's right there kind of at the bottom of the pack with all the other guys who maybe have new coordinators, or they're the same coordinator with new quarterbacks. And it's been not exactly a display of offensive fireworks thus far around the league. And maybe you can just chalk some of that up to getting to know each other. And it's September and teams are starting slow, but with the Jets coming in here, this looks like a defense that is ripe for the picking, and the Steelers better find a way to get in a rhythm this week.
Well, and Najee Harris better find a way to get in a rhythm. First-round pick, decent rookie year. We all had such high hopes. And he's running confused, Brian. It looks like he's uncomfortable with what's going on out there.
Yeah, and you do see more burst in Jalen Warren when he gets the handoff. You don't see, I don't think, as much finishing ability in Warren as you do. I mean, I guess to put it this way, I mean, once Najee does kind of get up to full speed – and he can get to the second level, you saw him throwing people off of him against the Browns. That's what he should be. That's what he should be doing consistently. I don't know if he is just running a little tentative right now because the O-line has not been blocking all that well for him since he got here last season. I think it's been somewhat improved this year, especially on the interior with Mason Cole. But, he's got to find a way to just get a little bit more bounce in his step off the handoff, I think. And then he can pick his hole and go and get north-south. So, maybe it's something to do with his running style that they just need to find the right balance. But absolutely, if you're the Steelers, you'd like to see more of that Najee Harris hitting the hole and then getting into open field where he can use the best attributes that he has, the stiff arm, the hurdles, the throwing people off of him. So, right now it looks like number 30, for as small and probably limited physically as he is, he's at least hitting the hole with a little bit more authority and, kind of showing number 22 what he should be doing when he gets the ball.
We're talking to Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette here on the Mark Madden Show. Do you buy the notion that the Steelers deserve better than 1-2 Because all three games have turned on a few key moments. I'll admit they could be 3-0. They could just as easily be 0-3, maybe more easily.
Yeah, I don't buy that notion, because I think ultimately you are what your record says you are, and a lot of the plays that didn't go their way were their own fault. So there's something to be said for executing that is the difference between wins and losses. But what I do buy, Mark, is just the parity in the NFL, and I don't really understand the doom and gloom of people who look at the upcoming schedule and say, man, they're not going to be able to win another game. Like, you got to pay attention to what's going on around the league. I mean, most of the time,
I am, Brian, sense. And I don't think they're going to win another game after the Jets game, not till the bye week comes.
Really? There's been so many just unpredictable results thus far, though. I mean, like I said, was saying before, I mean, unless you have one of these superhuman quarterbacks, you feel like you kind of go into any game and it could go either way. I mean, the fact that the Dolphins and the Eagles are the two undefeated teams, like, I'm sorry, maybe they're legit, but I just don't think that Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa are really in that stratosphere of the guys that give you the winning edge every single week. If anything, I think, you know, unlike the Steelers, you know, the plays have gone those teams' way, more so Miami than Philly, but, you know, Philly I don't think has played a very daunting schedule. So, no, I'm not ready to write them off in that way. I think we've seen over the years a lot of games that Mike Tomlin's teams should have won and lost, but it's also gone the other way. We've absolutely seen them beat some teams that on paper they had no business competing with, let alone upsetting them. So I just think that it's such an unpredictable league at this point. You know, other than, you know, maybe the Bills and the Bucks, I give the Steelers a pretty decent chance for most of these games.
Well, you mentioned Tua and Jalen Hurts, and the Steelers will be facing them in week 7 and 8 respectively. But this week it looks like Zach Wilson for the Jets at quarterback, back from injury. And he's like Trubisky part two, isn't he? Second pick overall, only started the 1 year in college, lots of similarities.
Yeah, six, even down to their physical dimensions and attributes. I mean, they're both 6'2". Pretty mobile guys, but, you know, everything was talked about them going into the draft about their arm talent. And they both, you know, started a lot of games their rookie year for organizations that weren't faring too well. Now, Wilson started from day one. Trubisky got to kind of token watch from the sideline for a few weeks while Mike Glennon goes out there and stinks it up. So, yeah, a lot of similarities and parallels between those two. With Wilson, you know, I don't really know what to make of him, and I don't even think the so-called QB experts do either. I mean, it seems like going back to that 2021 draft, a lot of people were split on him. I mean, I saw some saying that he might even be better than Trevor Lawrence, just the pure physical tools, and then others saying he was a one-year wonder at BYU, and they don't trust him to keep this up. So I think at the very least, he's going to be pretty rusty coming back from this injury, and for a Steelers defense that, you know, last couple weeks, notwithstanding, you know, has been pretty stifling more often than not, and obviously had Joe Burrow seeing things. They should be licking their chops getting a Zach Wilson who hasn't played since the preseason and is going to be dealing with that injury, you know, after not having seen the live bullets for a while. So they should be able to take him to the woodshed, I think.
Yeah, in theory, because the Jets have three offensive tackles on IR too, Brian, but yeah, they've only had the two sacks since Watt got hurt. So I'm not sure what to count on. The Jets imploding, the Steelers exploding. I mean, I'm just not sure.
Yeah, I do think that the Patriots and Browns had pretty good O-lines. The Browns, of course, we know they have one of the best units in the league. And the Patriots tackles,
right,
Trent Brown and Isaiah Wynn, they're pretty solid. So, yeah, I mean, this should be a week that Alex Highsmith, Malik Reed, maybe even DeMarvin Leal, if he gets a little bit more involved, playing that outside linebacker-ish role, kind of a jumbo-sized one. They got to make something happen this week. And with Wilson, you know, you got to think that, you know, you'll be able to do what so many Steelers defenses have done over the years and kind of confuse him a little bit. He's going to be playing it, you know, I would say a raucous crowd, but anymore it seems like the most noise that the Acrisure Stadium fans make is just to boo Trubisky more than throw the other team off their game. So, yeah, I mean, everything should be pointing the Steelers' direction to get a win, from the banged-up Jets offense to a defense that just got absolutely roasted last week by the Bengals. But Absolutely, that's why you play it. And again, there's results every week in this league that just don't make any dang sense when you look at it. So we'll see what happens with the Steelers and the Jets.
Well, the cliched hackneyed question. I mean, I'm on record as saying I don't think there's any way Pickett starts before the bye week, barring injury. What say you?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think they will need that time, if that's ultimately what they decide to do, to kind of get him reacclimated to playing with the first team offense. I mean, it's no secret what the Steelers have often done with their quarterbacks. You know, it's been Mason Rudolph getting those reps on Wednesday when Ben doesn't practice, but that's not the case anymore. So it's really trying to get Trubisky as sharp as they can possibly be. And, you know, you've got the other guys doing scout team stuff, as most teams do around the league. So I don't think it would be as simple as just flip the switch and bump him up the order. It's one thing to kind of change the trajectory of the way they did at times in training camp and the preseason to get him more quote unquote varsity action. I think it's a whole different ball game once you get in season. And who knows? I mean, maybe there will be an injury to Trubisky that forces their hand there, and then there will be no choice. That would obviously speed up the Pickett thing entirely. But for now, I really do think that they have come in with a plan to bring Pickett along pretty slowly, no matter, you know, what happens results wise. And, you know, as I've been saying since Thursday night in Cleveland, I don't think that Trubisky played so poorly or poorly enough to get benched and lose his job based on performance right now.
Brian, great stuff. Thank you so much for the insight, and we'll talk again soon, I hope.
All right. See you guys.
That's Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette. We've got Mike DeFabo from The Athletic talking more Steelers at 4:30. Up next, we're going to talk about a bunch of baseball crap. Mike Trout refusing to sign autographs for little kids. The guy who catches the Pujols number 7 home run ball keeps it. Pujols gets kind of, I don't want to say implicated, but Max Kellerman insinuated, there's a good word, he might be on the gas. And then a story about what happened with Mark McGwire's 70th home run ball. It's the Mark Madden Show at 105.9.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
And his drink, smoked pot, figured if he showed up at rehab wrecked, it gave him a better shot at getting most improved.
The X at 105.9.
So I get the let out here in Vegas last night at Brooklyn Bowl. Saw Aerosmith on Monday, going to see Rod Stewart tonight. Get the let out, did no quarter. I wished I was high, but I was pretty drunk. That's close enough. Plus, I'm taking some pain pills for my bad back. Not bad. This segment brought to you by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at cwelectricalservices.com. Aerosmith were great. I mean, I had a great ticket. The set list left out some stuff that I'd like to see them play, like Draw the Line and Last Child, but they're not just playing for me. I've never treated a band as my own personal jukebox. I will say, though, whenever they play the Armageddon song from the movie, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, that's the bathroom break. I hate that song. I bet deep down they hate it too, even though it was a big hit. Okay, some funny things happening in baseball. Aaron Judge hit his 60th home run, and now he hasn't hit a home run for 7 games, which means he has 60 and 154. All he did was tie Babe Ruth for that record, although it's not a record. It's informal because of all the steroid stuff. There are no real home run records. Pujols hit home run number 700. He's now gone 3 games without a home run. Now, when Pujols hit home run number 700, the guy who got the ball kept it. What he's going to do with it, I don't know, but I respect him because these guys are multi-millionaires. If they're not going to pay, somebody else will. If it's not that important to them to pay, then sell it elsewhere. I saw a story about Mark McGwire when he hit home run number 70. The guy who caught it agreed to trade it for a bunch of autograph stuff and a meeting with McGwire. But McGwire ixnayed the meeting. He'd give him the autograph stuff. He didn't want to meet the guy, so the guy said, okay, kept the ball, sold it for $3 million. Mark McGwire, I don't know about now, but he was an asshat back then, by all accounts. You know, one guy in front of the camera, another guy when he wasn't. Another thing about Pujols, Max Kellerman insinuated that for Pujols to hit this many home runs to go in a run like this power-wise at his age, Kellerman insinuated that he might be on the gas. And how could you not at least think that's a possibility? And that's what steroids did back in the 90s. Bonds, McGwire, Sosa. It not only tainted the game then, it tainted our thinking forever. The other baseball controversy is Mike Trout, the LA Angels star, was seen barging past a bunch of kids who wanted his autograph. And people are saying, oh, those kids were working for autograph dealers. I saw no evidence of that in the clip. I think Mike Trout's just a dink. Like a lot of baseball players are dinks. Baseball players don't understand that they're only baseball players. Football players, when they're jerks, I get it, because it's the most popular game in the country. Baseball players acting like they're somebody. They're not in context. And Mike Trout's never won a friggin' thing, so F him. Look at the video. He just walks right past these kids. Mr. Trout, can we, you know, doesn't say nothing, just keeps going. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. If you saw any of that, call and comment. I got to make a comment on the Pickett situation. No matter how much the B team wishes upon a star, Pickett's not going to start until after the bye week, if then. Barring injury, of course. You know who became a real idiot? Mike Florio. The lawyer slash football guy. He used to be so informative, and now all he does is look for clicks. He actually said, listen to what he said. The Steelers fans want Pickett to play, and a football team can't ignore its customers forever. Well, I beg to differ, Mr. Lawyer Guy, because the Steelers have ignored their customers forever when it comes to personnel decisions. What a stupid effing thing to say. By a guy, well, you know what? Mike Florio used to be great, and now he sucks. He's on the right radio station. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. Up next. What do we got up next? I don't know what we have up next, but I'm in Vegas, and that counts for something. 105.9 The X.